Now it's my privilege to introduce Brother Richard Doctor, who will give us two parts today on the subject of our Lord's resurrection appearances. And we'll try to have some questions, maybe, if we have time after the special business meeting. So take special notes, brethren. But can you imagine how blessed it would have been to be one of those brethren who saw our Lord after his resurrection? So, Brother Richard, we look forward to your service.
Well, the Bible records 10 appearances following Jesus' resurrection. And brethren, this is significant because in biblical numerology, 10 is associated with completeness, perfection, and fullness in human affairs. Hence, there's 10 fingers, 10 toes, 10 commandments, 10 virgins, and 10 horns on the fearsome beast. 10 is the sacred number of the tabernacle. While this lesson of completeness holds here, at the same time, the scriptures speak of two additional appearances following Jesus' ascension. We remember that Saul of Tarsus witnessed an 11th appearance, an imperfect number, and he describes that as something that happened to as one born out of due time in 1 Corinthians 15:8. This left Paul with impaired vision, and mankind shall yet witness in the future a 12th appearance of our Lord, a perfect number associated with the Lord's special blessing. And of course, this is not going to be with their literal eyes, but it will be with what's more important, with their spiritual eyesight. And in each of these 10 appearances, what's important to see is that only disciples were privileged witnesses. We read about this in Acts 10, 40 to 41. It says, "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, but not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us." From these accounts of Jesus' appearances, we find 10 different elements of significance, and we're going to talk about that this afternoon. The 10 appearances with 10 elements suggests they're square. 10 times 10 equals 100, and that's the number associated with the perfection of Jesus in the tabernacle. So as we go through this, we're going to just see later the 10 elements are, I believe, the following. One, an apostle was present, or an apostle was not present. That's an element. Two, the main focus was on the apostle body. Three, the great commission to preach to the nations. Four, an appearance to a single witness. Five, materialization and dematerialization. Six, Jesus not recognized by familiar features. Seven, Jesus permitting himself to be touched or not touched. Eight, Jesus either directly eating or where food is present. We'll talk about that. Nine, we can identify the day of the week. And 10, the disciples being directed to a specific location. Now, as we consider this, you know, these elements in themselves have a structure, a 7 and 3 structure. And 10, as the sum of 7 and 3, is a lesson that we first find in the record of Job's children. The natural attention of a patriarchal society is towards the 7 sons as Job's strength and legacy. We read about that in Job 42, 13 to 15. But the beauty, and we trust with that beauty, the character of his three daughters, created special demands on his attention and on our attention. Like their brothers, Job's daughters received a full portion of the inheritance, but unlike their brothers, the only names in the record are Jemima, Keziah, and Kiran Hippok. These three daughters are the counterbalancing threefold to those seven sons. If we regard the sevenness as the major lesson and the threeness as the counterbalancing lesson with special purpose and beauty, there might be a lesson our Lord is intending for us in this same seven and three structure in our Lord's appearances. So let's begin with the first appearance. We know that the women, even though the men had gone and buried Jesus with spices, there were women who were coming on the first day of the week, on Sunday, to make sure the job was being done right and the tomb was empty. They left in confusion. But we pick up this account from John chapter 20. Mary, and this is talking about Mary Magdalene. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Well, "Who are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." But he said unto her, "Mary." Obviously in some familiar voice and tone. And she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And he said unto her, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God." Well, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she'd seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. So let's look at what we see in this first appearance. It wasn't to any of the apostles. It was to one of the Lord's faithful, loving disciples. It was to a single witness. And we find in this case, Jesus wasn't recognized by familiar features, but by the voice. The account of our Lord's appearances continued to include the other women who had accompanied Mary Magdalene and gone to the garden tomb. And we pick this up not from John, but from Matthew. And as they, that is these women, went to tell his disciples that the tomb was empty, behold, Jesus met them saying, "All hail." And they came. And this time they held him. They held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." Well, now in this second appearance, again, there's disciples. There's always going to be disciples, but no apostles present. And we see that there was the element of Jesus specifically being touched and being held by the feet in this case. The third appearance, and this must have been really the longest of the appearances on that blessed Sunday, was on the road to Emmaus. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they walked together all of these things, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned that Jesus drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying they'd seen a vision of angels, which had said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it was even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him. He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So in this appearance to Cleopas and the other disciple on the road to Emmaus, again, the appearances to disciples, but not to the apostles themselves. Clearly, we have dematerialization in this appearance. Our Lord was not recognized by any familiar features. And, you know, as you bless bread in the Jewish tradition, you actually break and take a little bit and ask the blessing on the bread. We have the custom of praying before we eat. And actually, the Jewish custom is to return thanks for the food that has been eaten. So it's a little different. The fourth appearance, and this one's a little hard to place on the timeline, but the fourth appearance was to Simon Peter. And we read about this in the Gospel of Luke as well as in 1 Corinthians. We're going to start with Luke. And they, we read about Cleopas rising up, and they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, here's what Cleopas and the other disciple found. The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. So now there was the testimony of the women. Now there was the testimony of Simon Peter. And Paul picks up on this. He says, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then following that of the 12. So there was a special personal appearance to Cephas. So looking at this appearance, and we know it was on the Sunday of the resurrection, where it falls in the timeline, we don't quite know. But again, all we know is that there was a single witness in this case, and obviously to an apostle. So this one was not an appearance to the disciple. The fifth was to the apostles in a locked room. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believe not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. The part about the honeycomb doesn't appear to be the original text. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said, behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Well, this was an astonishing meeting, But as we famously will find out, there were actually 10 of the apostles, as well as other disciples, but 10 of the apostles here. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the door was shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now we're reading the John account. And he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So he gives the great commission to the apostles for the first time. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive. Now, the text says the Holy Spirit. Actually, I should have scratched that through. The word the is not in the original. That's added. Receive Holy Spirit. We know that until Pentecost, they weren't going to receive Spirit Begettel and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But this was a little bit that could carry them through this 40 days. Whosoever sins ye remit, they're remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Well, that was quite an interesting addition that he has at the end there. So in this fifth meeting to the 10 apostles, and all of this is on the first day of the resurrection, as we would count the time, we find that the not only were the apostles present, but the main focus was on the body of the apostles. We certainly see in this case, he comes through the locked door, and there's materialization in this case. He invites them to touch himself, and he shows them that he can eat, which is not, even though we know they had a correct understanding of the scriptures, still, there were things that needed to be brought to their attention to say, look, I'm not what, is believed in the popular culture about spirits. And he showed them that. Then there were no appearances for a few days. Well, I have to think that while there were no appearances, there was a lot of discussion going on. There was a lot of analysis. And we see that this is how the Lord works with his servants, those that he loves. He sometimes doesn't give the immediate answer. He wants us to think about it. Following week, there's our Lord's appearance where Thomas is present. We pick up this in the 20th chapter of John. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, and probably we should really translate that. He was one of the apostles who had a nickname. Jesus loved giving the apostles a little nickname. So Didymus means twin. Was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, when the disciples were within and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now, we won't go into the details here. You'll notice it says after 8 days. This would be putting it into Sunday evening by the way we count days, which actually would be beginning a new day in the Jewish week. That would be starting what we would consider Monday. But this would be Sunday evening by our reckoning of the following week. Jesus says, peace be unto you. And he knew what Thomas was thinking and saying. And he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas is overwhelmed. He says, oh, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you've seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that's us, brethren. We believe because we know these were true and reliable witnesses. So in this sixth appearance, we find the main focus was on the body of the apostles. In fact, there probably were other disciples present. They're not mentioned in this case as they were previously for the previous Sunday. Again, coming through the locked door, there was materialization. And Jesus was touched, or he certainly invited touch in this sixth resurrection appearance. Following this, one of the most unusual resurrection appearances, and we'll talk about that in the second part. This is the account that closes John's gospel, was the appearance at the Sea of Galilee. We find, picking up this account, but when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said unto them, children, Have you any meat? Well, this is a third request for meat. And they answered him, no. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast, therefore, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. He couldn't wait. He had to swim to shore. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but were about 200 cubits out, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which you've now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, and yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. What does that mean, the third time? Well, this is the third time he appeared with the focus on the body of the apostles, and they're called Mathetes, disciples here in the Greek. But this actually was something that just included some of the apostles who had gone with Peter to reestablish the fishing business. And our Lord needed to get them focused on the real fishing they needed to do. We talked a little bit last week about the grief of the third time Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you filio me? And this was after Peter had affirmed his not only his love, but his close love for the master. And Peter was grieved because the Lord said unto him the third time, do you have this filial love for me? And Peter said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Well, Peter had the focus now. So in this appearance at the Sea of Galilee, the focus was on the main body of the apostles. We have Jesus especially putting the commission on Peter, not just to be a believer, but to be a preacher of this and to feed both the Lord's sheep and the Lord's lambs. We see clearly Jesus was not recognized by familiar features, but we're told nobody dared ask, who is this? Because they knew it was Jesus. We have the fish already cooked at the beach as they were approaching. And I'll just offer a thought. You know, the whole ministry of our Lord and his teaching of the apostles was by Galilee. That was the focus of where they spent most of their time, and they spent a lot of time by the Sea of Galilee or Gennesaret. I think that having the barbecues of fresh fish at the beach was something that was part of the way in which Jesus ate and taught the disciples. I think this was a familiar experience for them, and one that was a remembrance of the blessed times they had enjoyed together, and he shared that experience with them again. Here in this case, we really can't tell what day of the week this appearance took place. We remember that there was a direction, not about the time, but a direction to go up to Galilee. So here they were directed to a specific location, but they didn't quite know what was going to happen. Well, the eighth appearance is one of the most dramatic, because this permitted 500 brethren to see our Lord in his resurrected state. And in this case, this is the most organized of the appearances for the disciples, because they had both a time and a location. And we'll pick up the account from both the Gospel of Matthew and 1 Corinthians. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So they knew exactly where they were going. And when they saw them, they worshiped him. But some doubted, not of the apostles, of course, but of these 500 brethren. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in my name." We're giving here the original reading of the Matthew text. Scratched through reading is the one adopted after the Council of Nicaea in 325 of this era. That says, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Our Lord said, "Baptize them in my name." And of course, the council wanted to assist by clarifying what the "my name" meant. Paul records it this way in his list of some of the resurrection appearances. He says, "After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren of once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep." So in this eighth appearance, the focus really is not just for the apostles, but for you and me to be part of this privilege of preaching the Great Commission to all the nations. Here, we can't identify the day of the week, but clearly everybody knew. We could speculate, but we won't. Clearly, we're told that they were directed to a specific location again. Picking up with Paul, he records an appearance after this to James. Now, remember, there were the three disciples that were closest to him. There were Simon Peter, Simon Bar-Jonas, called Cephas in Aramaic, or Peter in Greek. There was this appearance to James, and then there was the Apostle John. And we're told after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. In this appearance, all we know is that there was a single witness, and we can't say anything about the day of the week in this particular case. No other information about materializing or dematerializing or anything. Now, where do we find the appearance at the Sea of Galilee and the appearance in the mountain, which is clearly believed to be north of the Sea of Galilee? This is putting the whole body of the apostles a long way from Jerusalem, more than 100 miles. But Jesus said, "You've got to go back to Jerusalem for my ascension." So during this 40 days, we find the disciples were doing a lot of walking. they were doing a lot of traveling. And they have the Great Commission now, brethren. They have this direction from the Lord, not just to the apostles, but to all of us, to preach to the nation. And what a privilege this is. And I'll mention at this point, your service is needed at the fair booth in Indiana. The fair is going to be real long this year, and your help is needed. So they're now 100 miles away, and they're told to walk back to Jerusalem. And what does this, what does this mean? It not only puts them in a position where they're not settled down and comfortable, but they're in a position where what are you going to do while you're walking? You're going to be talking. They were in close fellowship with each other. And this was by the Lord's arrangement. And all of this we know is taking place during a 40-day period. We have a scriptural testimony for that. So let's read about this last appearance. He led them out as far as to Bethany. Okay, so we know that he was in the place that loved him, that they stayed all the time. And he came back there. He doesn't go to the temple. He doesn't go into the city. He's outside. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. So this is how Luke closes his gospel. But we have some additional details in Acts. And so we're told there as the book of Acts opens, Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So we know that the period here of his appearances was 40 days. And speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So they weren't to go back to Galilee, and certainly not back to fishing, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And that, of course, was going to be the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. This was a baptizing for righteousness, for remission of sin. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Look at where their focus was. Is this it? Are you coming to restore the kingdom now? And of course, that wasn't going to be the purpose. The purpose was the development of the mediator of the new covenant, the development of the mediator of the new covenant. That's you and that's me by the Lord's grace. So he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men, of course, those are two angels, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, Men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Well, of course, that doesn't mean he's going to come back at the Olivet Mount near Bethany from a cloud. This means that he will come back observed only by his faithful disciples. And that, by the Lord's grace, has been our privilege and the privilege in this blessed harvest time. So let's look now at this 10th resurrection appearance. We find the focus here is really on the Great Commission to preach to the nations. And we find that the disciples were directed to a specific location. We know that this was during the 40-day during this 40-day period, the Pentecost is going to be 50 days following the time of our Lord's passion and crucifixion. You start counting the days to Pentecost at that point. We can't really be certain of the weekday here, or at least that's my belief. So, brethren, we're going to look at the elements that are presented in these different appearances to try to make the case that all of this was carefully planned by our Lord with a specific purpose of teaching us lessons. And we can't do anything but to say, thank you, Lord, for these faithful witnesses to our Lord's resurrection. And like as our Lord said to Thomas, we want to be believing of this. We know that these witnesses were reliable. We are greatly blessed. And we add, may the Lord add his blessings to us as we go forth with this great commission. And there's a write-up on this that appeared a year ago at Beauties of the Truth. We trust that everything we've presented is in harmony with our understanding of the times and purposes and this special privilege we had.